just what you think I've seen. Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the cypress knee, and we're talking moccasin joke. Well, the party they gon' have out in the St. John's walls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. If you'd like to join us in our live discussions during the program, just dial in and join us at 347-996-5877. That's 347-996-5877. Just dial in and wait for the moderator to announce your area code and bring you on to the show. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hey, Marco Bill. I noticed that we're having some technical difficulties here this evening, and I guess this weather that they're having there on the East Coast has really impeded quite a few shows all over the country.
I think that's probably might want to be the audio is really bad on the Blog Talk part coming out.
Well, listen, we still got you, and I marvel. I got to tell you this, Marco. I just marvel at the guests that we have on this show and each and every week. It's so fresh. It's so crisp. And it's people like you that keep this thing alive and thrilling. I just want to do some brief shout-outs here tonight, Marco, before we get to our guests. And ladies and gentlemen, we've got a chock full of nuts of a plethora of fine guests tonight. And they're going to be coming to you from all over this country. We're going to start off with New Mexico, which we promised you from last week that we couldn't get to. Remember, we had technical difficulties last week also. So hopefully with the millions and trillions of dollars that Blog Talk goes through, maybe they can fix this somehow. What do you think, Marco?
Well, I would hope so.
Okay. Let's get out to our shout-outs. They're not a lot, but they're mighty and few. I want to put a big shout-out to my buddy Marshall out there in Michigan. He's an oral surgeon. He deals in implants, and I met him. And I got to tell you something, Marshall. You were a breath of fresh air. I lost your card, so you have mine, I hope, or go to searchingforbigfoot.com where it says contact us and call me. The phone number is there. The exchange will get a hold of me no matter where I am across the country. I need to talk to you. I thought you were a great guy, and I want to go forward and let's do what we talked about there at the airport. Another gal I want to talk about is Norma. Norma, the Sicilian gal from Florida, she sat next to me on the plane, ladies and gentlemen, as I flew to from California to New Orleans. Then the guys picked me up from Slidell, and then we're here tonight in Alabama, believe it or not. But this gal was probably a very intriguing woman, and I promised I'd give her a shout-out because she's from Brooklyn, believe it or not, same place I'm from. Norma, here's looking at you, kid. I'm going to have a tall, cool one just on you tonight. And to all my friends out there, our new friends, Marco and team, I've got to tell you about this. We, every week, we're breaking all kinds of records when it comes to the sales of Bigfoot Lives. The names are too plentiful, ladies and gentlemen. Let me just say, this goes out, a shout out to each and every one of you guys. Thank you from the bottom of my heart and the team's heart, because this is what keeps us going. Our award-winning film, Bigfoot Lives, is just taking off like you won't believe, and each and every day we keep getting new orders, let alone if you go to Amazon.com and go to the DVD section, and you'll see it yourself. The reviews have been off the hook. Lee Leon over there, if you're in the chat room, and Bruce the Snake Man, Shoot the Snake Man, and Bill Green and all the other guys, kudos and salutations to each and every one of you guys, and thank you for your genuine support each and every week. And you know what? To all of our eyes, ears, and nose all over this country, I want to thank you. And you know what, Marco? I think what we're going to do is we're going to go all the way down there to New Mexico,
Well, Tom, could I ask you a question? One little thing before you start that. I'm sorry. But, you know, on the DVD, I was up on Amazon.com the other day.
Uh-huh.
And I noticed, you know, one of the things you can do when you purchase that DVD is, and you've seen it, you can go back there and you can write up an evaluation on that. And I know there's a lot of listeners out there that have ordered that movie, and it would be really nice if they could go up there and just give a good personal evaluation of what they thought the movie brought to us. Okay? And
yeah,
that was just something I thought I'd throw out.
Thanks for bringing that out. I should have brought it out myself, Marco. You know, but when you're in the field, you got more, your mind just escapes you at the time, in the moment, let's say. You know, you meet so many people out here and so many beautiful people that you kind of forget about the simple things in life, okay? And it's so true what he said, ladies and gentlemen. If you purchased our movie on Amazon.com or you purchased it on our website, please be kind enough to give us a shout-out and a holler on our guest line, our guest book, and whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, you know, we'd like to hear it. And do the same thing there on Amazon.com, and you'll see it. All the reviews that we got are just totally off the hook, and it's people like you that make us the people that we are. And without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's go down there to New Mexico. J.C. Johnson, Dave Ortiz, and the man in the spotlight tonight. Take heed, ladies and gentlemen, and buckle up for safety, because we're going to talk to a guy tonight that just got to sing, has encounter with the creature, Bigfoot himself, there in New Mexico. And that's going to be from an elder up there on the reservation, Leonard himself. J.C., are you there?
Right here, Tom. You guys have been on the road. You've been working hard. It's good to hear from you. God bless you guys.
And God bless you too, my brother.
Pace.
Well, wow. I got to tell you this. We're so many exciting things are happening here in Alabama, and we're going to get to that, okay? But I promised our audience out there, J.C. and David and Leonard, that I'd have you guys back this week, because we did have those technical difficulties last week. And if you guys remembered the story from our friend down there in Kentucky, I mean, it was just off the hook. It was breathtaking.
Wonderful guest last week.
Wasn't it exciting? Wasn't it amazing? I mean, the story just, and it went from the early 20s all the way up to present day today, and it's still going on, and that's the thing that just totally amazes me. But you know what? It can't be any more amazing than what happened just a little while ago over at Leonard's land. Leonard, are you on the line also?
Oh, yes, I'm here.
Thank you, and God bless you for being with us, my brother.
Yes.
You know, I'm going to tell you something, Leonard. My crew had the honor and the opportunity to meet you before myself their last time out, and they did nothing but talk about J.C. Johnson, David Ortiz, and the soon-to-be world-famous Leonard himself. And I want to thank you. Yeah, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, Leonard, for extending the hospitality that you guys did and showing them around and bringing them out there into the mountains and canyons and doing what you did. I just wanted to get that out of the way straight off the top before we get into your encounter and everything else. Let me just put a real quick shout-out to David. You there, David?
Yep, right here.
Hey. How are you, my brother?
Doing great.
Good, good. Well, you guys know that we're going to be leaving probably around 12 or 1 o'clock tomorrow to come out and see you.
Well, you're heading out to a mud bog. We've got nothing but moisture. It's a real blessing to have all the rain and snow that we've had. But we're going to be limited. But you know what? A blessing is the fact that out at Leonard's farm, there is some road and some brief area to travel to get to the siding area. So I think that'll be a plus.
I don't think the audience really understands, because so many people think, well, hey, look, let's go out there and track this creature in the springtime, in the fall, you know, or in the summer, where we don't have to go through this inclement weather. And the thing that they don't realize and understand, J.C., is that, my God, if you do come out there, when it does rain, it's going to be muddy, and now the creature's going to leave its tracks behind, same thing it's going to do in the snow. And the thing that this intelligent, elusive beast doesn't really understand is this, that, my God, the thing that's really going to give them away is the tracks that they leave behind.
Exactly. And Leonard, as he'll tell you, he went out, he had the sighting about dusk and he was a large hairy hominid, and Leonard told me when I first talked to him, there's no way it could be human, just no way. Big, thick chest, wide shoulders, hairy, and when it took off the snow was really powdery, and it kind of shuffled its feet as it was running, so he couldn't get any real good tracks. But the best thing is, Leonard, you're on the line, brother. Tell him what you saw and tell him what happened.
Hey, Leonard, why don't we just start off with our guests and tell them who you are, where you are, where you live, what you do, and how you got interested in the Bigfoot.
My name is Leonard Dan. I live on the reservation. I'm with the Navajo tribe, with the New Tribe. Excuse me. And I've grown up in this area since, you know, when I was real small. I grew up here, and so I knew every tree or anything that's disturbed, that's not or ordinarily moved, I could tell that something's going on. And I live in the Four Corners area of the United States, and there's a lot of interesting things out here that you know, we need to put in the books.
And I like that. I like when we're going to put them in the books there, Leonard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So when did you actually encounter this creature? How long ago? Has this been the first time, or has it been many times?
This has been really the first time, but I've heard my neighbors talk about it. But this is the first time I've seen it. It was about 2 weeks ago, on January the 13th.
January 13th.
Yes, I stepped out on the back porch. It was in the evening. We were getting dark, and the shadows were creeping up. And I happened to look out in the field about 200 feet away. I saw something, a dark figure. And I thought it was one of the neighbor's horses that got out into my field again. So, and I looked again, and it turned sideways. And this being was actually crunched over, or hunched over, like it was picking up something. Actually, it was picking up these old corn husks that we left out in the field. And he was going through that and to see if there was any corn left in there. And I started to walk toward it, and he saw me. And then just right away, it turned away from me and started running. A real long step, and still hunched over. And I stopped, and I turned around, and I came back inside. The next day, I went out there, and I saw its tracks. And I took some pictures of it. And overnight, it was kind of warm, and the snow had melted. And so it's kind of distorted, like, but you could actually see. This wasn't actually a Bigfoot, like, this was like from a juvenile, a younger, but when you stood straight up, it was over 6 feet. I'd say about 6'5", something like that.
Did you measure the stride in the track?
Well, in the snow, it shuffled. It was just real, like he had, like you would with a snowshoe. Like, you know, you're running with a snowshoe on. You know, you take short steps, and that's the way we're doing on the snow. So, McKay was being very careful not to break through the snow, because it had froze overnight the night before. And so he was very careful not to leave any tracks, but, you know, he saw me coming toward him, so he just ran, and he couldn't really hide his tracks.
I know that it was dusk out. Did you get a chance to see any facial features, the color of the hair, the length of the hair? Did it have a neck? I mean, was it, you know,
broad shoulders, short neck, and like it had shoulder pads on. And the hair was actually about 3 inches all the way through. Because when it rained, you could kind of see the are they rustling in the wind. That's the way it was doing, like it was, like it had a fur coat on. And so...
Did you get a chance to see its facial features at all?
No, I believe it was dark.
Okay, did the eyes glow, Leonard?
No, I didn't see that one. So.
Okay. So when you walked up to him, okay? Pardon me. The part is that you walked out after you walked outside and you thought it was a horse and then you started to walk towards it. How far was it then? You said about 200 feet.
200 feet and then I must have got about 25 feet from where I was. I started walking toward it with the dog.
Okay.
When he looked up and he knew that that I was around or somebody was around. So then he saw me, then he turned around and he started running away from me.
Okay, so now you tell my audience that you went back into to your house. Before you went back into the house, Leonard, what went through your mind when you saw this thing?
Camera. Camera was my first thought, but then I needed to run inside and grab it and run after it. But it was the big drainage canal that traverses my farm there. And it went down in there and there's a stream down in there, so I couldn't track it anymore.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I used to shoot arrows down into this. It's a mangrove over a drainage canal, which they use for irrigation. I used to shoot arrows down into this general area. It's really thick. It's really thick. I call it a mangrove. And I used to shoot arrows down there into my targets. In a, it's a perfect place for someone who wants to have cover. And there are some old corn buckets there that this particular individual is probably taking lids off these, it's 5-gallon buckets, I believe, of dried corn that they use for arts and crafts. It's Indian corn, typically, that they grow on Leonard's property there. And this Indian corn they use in arts and crafts and baskets and so forth. And it appears this individual was so hungry that he came after this dried corn from years ago. I mean, it might be 4 or 5 years ago that this individual was pulling tops off of these buckets to eat this corn.
So let me ask you something, JC and Leonard. Is the reason why that these creatures are foraging for food right now because it's not so plentiful at this time of the year?
The weather out here has been so hardcore. I think and pray about the homeless and anyone who's out exposed to these elements. It's horrible.
Zero weather.
Yeah, it's not been nice. This has been one of the hardest winters we've had in several years. And Squatchy is always after calories. He's always looking for something to eat, whereas some of these other entities that we'll talk about and report upon they're not after calories, but Sasquatch, Bigfoot, they're out after calories right now. They want something to eat. They're hungry.
So let me ask you this, guys. Here's the big $64,000 question, okay? Do you feel that this is a resident creature or one that was migrating and gets caught up in the storm?
Well, Leonard thinks, and we'll go back to Scar that was fishing. When we first saw Scar, there was two small individuals with Scar, and Scar was in the water fishing and catching catfish. The two small ones ran off, and Leonard seems to think that this is one of the small ones from 2005 that's bigger.
Now, forgive my ignorance, JC. Hold on just for a second. Excuse me. Scar is who?
Scar is a fishing Bigfoot that we saw back in November of 2005. I've got some not great photos of, but there's definitely something in the water that is tall and dark and hairy. If you go to the Google video and type in Crypto Four Corners, and pull up Giganto on the Navajo Reservation, Part 1, there's a pretty good expose of Scar, as we call him. Not that we got close enough to ever see scars on him, but definitely a big hairy hominid fishing in between 4 and 6 feet of water. And there was two smaller ones with scarred, and Leonard later saw two small hairy hominids later after the fact. And, you know, as he says in the video, we never thought we would see them again. And Leonard didn't have a camera with him. But we believe that one or more of, you know, the ones that were with Scar are still in the area. I think something bad happened to Scar. And I don't want to go into politics or anything like that, but in the Hogback area, there's really big mining resources. There's big oil, big natural gas reserves, big coal reserves. And Scar, as we've named him, probably wasn't real careful about the way he presented himself to humankind, especially when he was fishing. He was in a very exposed area. He might
so do you believe that he's had some confrontations with humans?
I believe Scar is not with us anymore. And we're talking about the two younger ones that were in his company, and possibly Leonard thinks that
yes.
It's one of the young ones.
Also, we have this Tuesday night in that same spot where this creature was standing, the following morning I looked out there again, and there was this 30-foot tree growing out there. Something, or maybe he did, snapped that tree in half and knocked it over.
At what point there, Leonard? I mean, 5 feet?
About two feet off the ground.
2 feet off the ground, and was it a sapling? Was it a large?
It's about 3 feet in diameter.
Uh-huh.
And these are hardwood. Chinese and type of the tree. It's hard to break off, you know, but I don't know how, but it was just snapped in half.
Wow. That's pretty incredible. Hold on, let's see if we're going to go commercial or not here. Are we going to commercial, Marco Bill, or we don't have to worry about that now because of the weather? Okay, ladies and gentlemen. Now you can tell that it works real well.
Okay, forget about it.
It's even better. So we're going to be commercial free tonight, ladies and gentlemen, due to technical difficulties. This is 2 weeks in a row, and big father time out there with this weather. I hope you look down upon us and help us out here on next Wednesday anyway. I'm sorry, Leonard, and go ahead. It's getting interesting. We went from the one that you just saw to the ones that have been resident creatures, this one that you named Scar, that apparently has some juveniles, that this may be of one, right?
I think so, yeah. I think they're still around, yeah.
Okay. You know, and I've got to bring up something that when I was talking to Steve Coles, the squash detective, when he was out here, I was talking about body differences. And Steve Coles stood up, and he had Brian Mazzola, your cameraman, stand next to him, and see, you know, look at our body shapes are different, because I was talking about what I saw in Scar. Scar was more like an orangutan type creature, as opposed to the two little ones that were on the shore. They were short, stocky apes, and I was talking to him about body differences, and as Brian Mazzola stood next to him, he's like, you know, we have two different body types, and perhaps he's correct, and I was wondering how Scar would be involved with these two, and he said possibly that they had attached themselves to Scar, and Scar was probably a really good fisherman and produced a lot of fish, and they weren't necessarily something detached from Sasquatch-type creatures, other than the fact that he was just different in a body shape, but he had more pronounced sloped shoulders, more of a slope to his back, more of an orangutan appearance, whereas the ones that were on the shore looked like short, stocky apes. So, I mean, just amazing different things, and Lenny's talking about a large hairy hominid that walked upright that was buff. I mean, a buff creature. And it sounds like probably one of the little ones that's grown up over the last couple of years.
Incredible. Incredible. You know, to have something of those, that magnitude and size, there has to be, you know, plentiful in vegetation and food for them to eat. But after listening to what Leonard had to say earlier at the top of the hour, it was quite different.
But also, I noticed that if they sense something around them or looking at them, they would stand straight up, straight, you know, to the full height of his 6'4" stature.
Mm-hmm.
Then he would crunch back low into the humping position. He would walk and run in that fashion. That's what I noticed about this creature.
Wow. That's incredible. So since you had it 2 weeks ago, the sighting, have there been other sightings in the general area from neighbors, friends, relatives, or that you've heard in the media?
No, I've been kind of keeping my ears open for, you know, different sightings or stories that people might have in this area of the Four Corners.
Mm-hmm.
So far, they haven't seen anything. They think that they're keeping out of the bad weather, or I don't know, maybe they stored up some food and they're holed up. And we have a lot of old uranium mines in this area, in coal mines.
Mm-hmm.
And some are still open, and a person can stay down in there for days to have food.
Sure, how did they live, just like humans, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to coming down there with you guys in the next couple of days. And
you know, can we have a listener on? Can we try to see if he can talk?
Sure.
Okay, 619. Area code 619, you're on Bigfoot Live.
Hello? 619, are you on the phone? Hello?
Hello?
Hi, who's this?
Leonard.
Leonard, you and I are still here.
And Dave.
And Dave.
Area code 619 on Bigfoot Live, you're on the air.
You know, you would think after going on a year and a half on the air that this technical difficulty stuff would stop. You know, I just don't get it. You know, people ask me, you know, in the world of high tech and all this kind of crap, how come we can't find Bigfoot? Well, I turn it back to you people out there, ladies and gentlemen. I turn it back to this technical world.
You know, let me add this to that.
Please do, Leonard.
Being of the native religion and traditional values of my tribe, I think that this difficulty that they're having, that exposing Bigfoot has something to do with that. I think he's in the area.
You think it's a bad omen?
Oh, yeah.
It's not a bad omen. You know, you never know, but if it was a bad omen, we wouldn't be on the air as long as we have been, Leonard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But you know what? I'm gonna transcend your thoughts, okay, to Blog Talk Radio, because I'm tired of getting mad at my own producer, because it's not his fault. He can only, you know, there's the old expression that you'll understand this more so than anyone, Leonard. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
Right.
And I'm at that point right now. I'm just about ready to take the phone and throw it through the window and say, you know, enough is enough. How much more do you want me to take? But you know what? I've got the passion. I've got the tenacity, and I know that the grass is greener on the other side of the hill, and I'm going to still persevere and make it happen. And that's the reason why we're going to be the number one Bigfoot show in the world.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
As we continue.
I've got tons of stories.
Well, I can't wait to come out there and be with you and share your campfire and
oh, yeah.
And enjoy you.
Yeah.
And we're only a couple of days away. And David, if you're still on the phone, I got a package coming that left Slidell, I guess, tonight. That'll be there tomorrow or the next night. So please, that's the new Bigfoot detector that Dr. Michael Lynch has perfected, supposedly, that we're going to be actually trying out there with you guys for the first time ever.
Well, great.
It works. Boy, oh boy, he's going to be a hero.
Yeah,
and if it doesn't work, here's another one that just went into the shitter.
Don't be afraid of anything, Tom. I think the best people are in your camp, and the nicest, most gracious, most God-fearing, most God-loving people are in your camp, and that's the best place to be.
I want to tell you that. That means an awful lot to me. It really does. And thank you for those nice words and accolades. You know who we haven't heard from is your other partner over there, David. David, talk to us. Bring us
hey, Dave.
How was
it? Hey, you know, this four corners that we live in is a beautiful expanse of mountains and desert. And within that this four corners, there's a creature out there that eats, drinks, sleeps, and roams around this whole area. We just don't know exactly where it's at.
Very intelligent. They are intelligent. How you can tell that, gentlemen, it's real simple. They've been eluding us for a century and a half and some. You know, I think we've licked everybody's appetite with what's going on, that's going to happen, and they'll hear all about it next Wednesday from when we're down there personally and talk from New Mexico. But let me tell you guys what's happening down here in Alabama, and that's the reason why I flew down here myself. Some amazing and exciting things that have been transpired here in the last 10 days. And I'm going to share it with you guys. I'm going to share it with my audience out there. Ladies and gentlemen, the story that I'm going to tell you is probably the most incredible story I've heard in my 34 years of tenure in the Bigfoot business. But I'm going to hear it goes. Like I told you before, I don't hold anything back. And you in the chat room, listen up closely, okay? We're down here in Alabama right now. Here's how the story goes. There was supposedly a father and a son. The son was 35 years of age, and the father, just put any age you want to it, at phase 60. They were in two deer blinds up in the tree, one about 150 yards away from each other. Well, they didn't come home one night. You know, they went out deer hunting. The next day, they sent some people out to look for him, and the kid was down 10 feet away from his deer blind, and some of his clothes torn off him. Dead. They go to look for the father. He was in the deer stand. Dead. Massive heart attack, supposedly. Maybe a shock. Who knows? Just the same area, ladies and gentlemen, where this creature down here has been roaming. So I thought it would behoove me to come down here and get to the bottom of this. And I got to tell you, there may be a little bit of a cover-up, but I was in the area tonight. I contacted the media, and they're doing their due diligence, going back about the story that hit the papers, and Channel 4 will be out tomorrow, and we met with one of the newspaper people there tonight. And at this point in time, I want to see if she's on. Melissa Braun, are you on? Melissa, are you on the phone? Melissa from Alabama. No, Melissa's not on the phone. Okay, is Darnell, are you on the phone? Well, neither one of these people are on the phone. But maybe that's the more technical difficulty, Marco, and Leonard, on your behalf, maybe that's the Bigfoot God telling these people not to come on. I don't know, okay? I'll tell you something. I can tell you this as a fact. Something is going on down here, okay? That is just one of the stories. There's other stories going on down here where people have had encounters, and thanks to us and Jeff Creel and Mike Sims down in this area, okay, who have notified us, brought us out here, and my God, I can't thank them enough for their hospitality. I've said it many, many times. There's an awful lot of things going on down here. And all I got to say to the people is, people better take heed. if there's any correlation, any connection whatsoever to a Bigfoot with these two people dying, you better, you know, perk up and say, hey, at least I better go down there and check it out. That's what we're doing. We're here, okay? And we're not a government institution. We're not a state-paid institution. We're here to get down to the bottom of it, get to the nitty-gritty of this whole thing. Now, my boys on the line, JB, TJ, TiVo, you guys on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Well, fellas, why don't you shed some light on this for our audience and for our guys and our brethren over there in New Mexico. What do you guys think? What's going on down here?
It's absolutely amazing out here, boss. But so many stories from so many different people and all these things that are going on all at once. And, of course, this big mystery of these two people that found dead. And it's really difficult to get any factual information from anyone because we're so hesitant to talk about it. Really having a difficult time getting to the bottom of it. Doing everything we can to do.
I don't think that our audience really understands what we actually said here. Folks, this is no game. This is no world, you know, world of the war of the worlds or that guy that in the 20s that said we're being invaded by Mars or anything. This is real stuff that's going on right now, okay? I've been super busy. I've been called away from what I was doing, okay, to come down here and check this out. They wouldn't call me to come out here if it wasn't super important. I'm going to tell you, okay? There's no wall that I don't go under, over, or around, okay? And I've had these barriers all day put up against me, but I'm etching away from that wall, okay? Ladies and gentlemen, you know how I am, okay? And I'll get to the bottom of it. And I think I'm bringing the wall down. But there's a lot of people out here and a lot of things that are going on. They don't want to talk, okay? They don't want to be ridiculed.
Yeah. This is a very close-knit community here down south there, and something happening here because you'd think it would be something very easy to get information about. The news media's been involved, but no one wants to talk. And like Tom says, he's out here just beating the bushes, talking to people, and then meeting with the news media and everybody he can to get as much information as we can, but it sure is not easy, and we're sure glad he came out here to help us. We're trying to do this for a couple of days, and hitting walls and every kind of obstacle in the world, and of course Tom is here now, and he is breaking down some of these rules, some of these walls, and hopefully we'll make some good progress.
Yeah, and you know what, Bob? I gotta tell you, it kind of made me a little miffed this morning. You know, the first reporter that we dealt with, she's on leave. Why would she be on leave when I told the story? And then the second reporter from another newspaper, it was the day off. Miraculously, we met up. We hooked up with her tonight, though. And Melissa, are you on the phone from Alabama? Are you on the phone, Melissa? No, Melissa's not on the phone again. I was hoping that she'd be on. But this gal actually, ladies and gentlemen, went out with us, braved the elements, and went out there with us. I wanted her to tell you in her own voice what was going on out here. Now, I've got Channel 4 coming out tomorrow. All right? Now, this guy's been sick. And he's their head guy out here, their anchor man, and he's coming out tomorrow. So we'll get to the bottom of this, and we'll let everybody know. Chuck Creel, are you on the phone?
Yes, sir. How long are
you? Well, I hear you in the background there somewhere. Can you get with your mouth close to the phone? I can't hear you at all.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, there you go. Can you hear me now? We're going to need a little advertisement for Verizon or something like that. How's that, Chuck?
I didn't make no money off of it.
What's your take on this, Chuck? What's going on down here?
Oh.
Well, I read it in the newspaper.
And, well, tell everybody you what you read.
Okay, well, I read what you didn't say. This man here was 35 years old. Found 30 foot from his stand with his clothes ripped off. Well, the newspaper didn't say that. He was found 30 foot from his stand, died, and the coroner said died of a massive heart attack. And then they found his dad in a stand not far, sitting up in a stand, dead of a massive heart attack. So, Mike got a call from a guy up in Midland City that said, the newspaper's not telling y'all what happened. Mike said, what are you talking about? He said, the man's clothes was ripped off of him. So...
Wait, hold on. Ladies and gentlemen, my audience, I want you to listen now. You're hearing it firsthand now. You're hearing it right here from someone down here in Alabama. Okay? Go ahead now, tell them again. Tell them slowly now, because we're not as smart as you people are down here.
I doubt that
we'll never get to the bottom of this thing.
I think anybody that's got half a sense will listen to y'all. What down to is they don't tell you that the man was 35 years old.
Uh-huh.
And I think when I said, man, he died, you know, the newspaper said he died, he was 30 foot from his stand, and they said his age, 35, and he died of a massive heart attack. And that got me scratching. Of course, I've heard people die younger than that. But then when I got to reading that his daddy was in a stand not far from him, sitting up in his stand, died of a massive heart attack, then Mike Sims, my friend, got a call from his friend that lives in Midland City, and he told Mike, he said, news media are not telling you all what's going on. The 35-year-old man that died from a massive heart attack had his clothes ripped off. Now, I can understand, you know, there's mountain lions down there, even though everybody tells you they ain't. People that are educated beyond their intelligence level that ain't got out in the woods and there, you know, they're there, and there's bears there and stuff like that, but I've seen mountain lions and bears, and they don't make me die of a massive heart attack, so I don't know what's going on, Tom.
Yeah. Well, the thing that you need to tell all of our listeners out there is that how far from where this happened to where all these sightings were?
We was right there.
Right there.
We was right there between Midland City and Echo, where the girl was feeding the thing out of her back trailer and all that, and she was just throwing old food out and looked down there and seen it, and, you know, Ramona up there, and she said it had real sad eyes and looked at her, and she run back in the trailer, and some guy wouldn't come out of the stand. They had to go down there and get him after dark. He's sitting up there with a high-powered rifle now. Come on, give me a break. If I got a high-powered rifle, I'm not going to get scared to come out of the stand, but he wouldn't. They had to go physically get him out of the stand, and when he got back to the house, he told them that he seen a big, upright, hairy creature walk right across his food plot. It scared the crap out of
him. Yeah, you know what? Now tell
Tom, we have three additional callers on the line now.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you think you can get them to come through with all this technical difficulty stuff, we'd love to talk to them. But we'll try. Okay, good.
Area code 360. You're on Bigfoot Live.
Hi,
hello.
This is really nothing about... Hello.
Hi.
This is for Java Bob.
Okay.
This is your favorite niece just calling to let you know I'm listening and I love you and I miss you.
Chime in, Java.
Hi, Ron. Thank you so much. That means a lot.
Dad's listening, too, so we're here and wishing you all well.
Well, thank you so much. We're appreciate you, too. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff that happens up in your neck of the woods up there in Washington. So, hopefully we'll get a chance to get up there and stop by and say hello. We're all missing you. And, you know, my sweetheart wants to get up there real soon.
Well, we're
thank
waiting
you so
to
much
take you guys again. You know you guys are welcome to come by, the whole crew.
I appreciate that. So,
We appreciate the call, and I really thank you for calling in. We're going to get back to the show now. So thanks,
okay,
and
bye-bye.
See you real soon. Love you.
Love you,
thanks.
Too.
Yeah, thanks. Marco, who's next?
Next is area code 860. 860, you're on Bigfoot Live Radio Show with Tom Biscardi. Go ahead.
Hi, who's this?
It's
Bill Green, but it's, as you can tell, the audio is bad on this call. Well, Bill, I guess we detected it's you, and thank you so much for calling. We can't get to a question, but if you can email Marco Bill, maybe he can tell us what you're trying to say, okay? Thanks so much for calling, and stay dry out in your area. I think he's up in Connecticut. Who else, Marco?
Okay, we have area code 505.
Hello, Tom. This is Father Ray.
Father Ray, how are you? Is this my brother from another mother?
yes, my brother from another mother. I'm so glad to talk.
Well, good, because I'm coming out to see you and the boys there. We'll probably be there on either late tomorrow night or early Friday morning. And
I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I plan on staying 3, 4, 5 days, whatever it takes. We're going to unravel this mystery. And, you know, at any time there's something going on, as fresh as it is here in Alabama, you know where we are, right in the middle of the action, Father Ray.
Yes, and we've got action going on here in the Four Corners.
I know. I mean, all these prayers that you've been giving us, I think, have been paying off, because every time I turn around, it's coming to fruition.
It is. I'm looking forward to it. It's coming closer and closer. You're gonna get a Bigfoot very soon.
Oh, Father Ray, you know what? From your mouth to our Father God's ears.
Amen.
I praise the Lord.
And also, well, I won't take up time now on the radio, but when you come here, I want to talk to you about getting together with you out in California.
Fantastic. Love to have you. Father Ray, thank you so much, and we'll see you in a couple of days, if not sooner. Who else do we have? Bye-bye. Who else do we have, Marco?
Tom, that's it.
Okay, fantastic. Let's get back to our boy. Chuck, did you finally finish up there?
I can't do a whole 5 days if they stay at all.
You know what, Dave, don't worry about doing a full 5 days if we stay. Dave, I can hear you on the line. Dave Ortiz?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We heard that you and the whole world just got through hearing what you had to say.
Oh, okay. We hit the
You know what? We love you in spite of yourself. JC?
He's talking to you, JC.
I'm in for the full
duration.
Everything.
Thanks.
Johnny's here. JC's on this. Whatever you guys have in mind, I'm there.
I understand. And David, please. We don't mean to impede on your time, and if we ever get to that point, kick us out, would you?
We love you, Tom. We love you guys, all of you, your whole crew. You guys,
I appreciate that.
Rock, you work.
I don't want our listeners out there to think about the same. Hey, man, these guys are being pushed on other people.
No,
we're just talking about school. I go to school.
Dave has got a full-loaded school, and we were talking about that earlier. I'm not going to school. I'm going to Sasquatch school.
There you go.
Sasquatch is what I'm
going to. Well, I'll tell you what. Sasquatch. I can't wait to go to the Leonard School of Sasquatch.
Yeah. Let me add this to the two dead guys in Alabama.
Yeah.
Were their toes shredded, like in a claw mark? Like a bear would, or a mountain lion would, or was it ripped off like with a hand?
Okay. I don't know. I wasn't there, and nobody is really letting loose on much of the information, Leonard.
Yeah.
Hopefully by tomorrow, we're going to have those answers for you. And when I see you, I'll tell you up front and personal.
So if you had Leonard there, Leonard would tell you if they were ripped off the body or taken off the body, because he's one of the finest trackers on God's green earth.
You bet. I can't wait to learn from him. But you know what? We didn't get to see the body.
And that's the problem here.
Yes, we have several species out here that roam around at night. Some have claws and some don't.
Wow.
So that Bigfoot is very intelligent and very elusive. And out here, they're not aggressive as they are down there. So maybe we're thinking here we've got creatures with claws and hands and stuff like that. They carry weapons, some of them do.
What kind of weapons?
They carry clubs, slats, and like a sharp pointed spear or stakes. Anything they could defend themselves with if they're threatened.
Well, we know that they pick up rocks and throw them.
Yeah, they do.
You know? Okay, let's see if our boys out here in Alabama have anything else to say. Gentlemen, you got anything else to say?
Hey, can you hear us?
Yeah, we can.
Hey, man.
Chuck was just finishing up on the stereo about Midland City, and actually was talking more about the encounter that happened here over in North November with the bow hunter that was hunting in the woods. He actually had a creature walk through and down the road in front of him, and this was actually probably 15 miles from Midland City. Now, that south of Midland City, around the other direction, 50 miles, that's here where we cast that strange print that was out there. This whole area is encompassed probably about 70 miles, which easily the creature could migrate up and down south and west, north and east, without a problem. So, whatever happened, you know, we're still beating down those walls, like you said, with these media people trying to figure out what's going on, but there's been so many sightings in this general area of all these different counties. There's something to play here.
Oh, without a doubt. And, you know, I want to tell everybody, you know, we're on the front cover of Outdoor Magazine. I guess it comes out when, fellas? On the 8th of next month?
Between the 8th and the 11th of February, it's Real Outdoor Magazine, yeah.
Yeah. And I'll tell you this, I saw the advanced copy of the story, and it's just totally off the hook, ladies and gentlemen. If you get a chance, get a copy of it. I'm sure we'll have something on the internet. If not, Dabba Bob will direct it right out to you guys on how that you can actually get a copy of that. It's just totally off the hook. It's something like when I was in my early days with all the scandal sheets and the...
Tom, you're still in your early days.
Well, thanks. I like that. JC,
I really like that. As we wrapped up, all of us, this world, this nation, all the people that you're involved with now, you've begun. You've been born again. This is a born thing. It's awesome. And I'm part of it, and all of us are a part of it, and it's a neat thing, Tom.
It makes you feel like
real stories, real encounters. It's an awesome thing, and there's more people that are going to come forward and talk about what they've seen. Maybe, honestly, actually, Sunday, we'll get a Bigfoot sighting in Hawaii. It can happen. It can happen.
No, you never know. You never know. Who would have ever thought? That there was a Bigfoot in China. Who would ever thought there was the Yowie in Australia? You know, but before you get off onto that, I want to tell everybody, you know, JC and David were our guests when they filmed us. The film crew came out to film us for the reality show. Well, we were informed today that A&E History Channel is going to film us last 3 weeks in March, right around the corner, believe it or not, which will air in October, and then Spike TV, Discovery Network TV, and A&E TV Network is being presented our project of our reality show with 26 episodes, which we believe they're all vying for it, and one of those three networks will be picking it up. Whatever networks it they are that does pick it up, ladies and gentlemen, you'll be actually seeing David Ortiz and J.C. Johnson in the first episode. They were there with us, ladies and gentlemen.
We had such a good time in Paris.
Wasn't that incredible, fellas?
And I'll tell you what, square inch per square inch, Paris, Texas, something is going on, and Tom Biscardi knows this. what's going on there. Something incredible is going on there in Price, Texas, and it was great to be a part of that and to be involved with that. It was so neat. And anybody, anyone, if you have the opportunity to come with Tom and be a part of anything in Price, Texas, sign up. Put your name on there. If it costs you a dollar, sign up. It's awesome. It's something I'll never forget, and as Tom and his crew were out here for the week they were out here, they know how big our research area is. We go from the Chuska Mountains to the Lucachucas, to the Carrizos, to the base of the Carrizos, to the river, to the San Juan River, all this. They know how big our research area is, and I think pound for pound and square inch by square inch, the biggest Sasquatch activity that I've seen is in Parrish, Texas.
And Neil, yeah, thank you so much for that, JC, but I'm going to tell you something right now. In my tenure of over almost 34 years now, well, I don't know, we're going to 35 years, I don't even remember the time anymore, but I'll tell you this, Alabama right now is pretty close to being tied with Texas. There's a lot of stuff, fellas, that are going on right now.
Send me and Leonard there and Dave. We're ready
okay.
to go.
Well, I'll tell you what. I hope Father Ray is still on the line. Father Ray, we're going to come to your parish on Sunday, me and the team, and hopefully J.C. and Leonard and Dave will adorn the doors of your church.
Yes,
and we're going to come there, and maybe we'll pray, and you can have the big Heavenly Father give us a big blessing, and maybe our dreams will all come true that night.
There is no maybe, Tom. We're praying. We're there. All of us.
You're the best.
Bet you're your friend.
Listen, God bless you guys. Until the next 24 hours, 30 hours, we'll be out there to see you. As a matter of fact, I got somebody from the media here that wanted to fly in. I told them all about you, JC, and Leonard, and David. And as a matter of fact, I called David tonight for the exact address. And by the way, David, that Bigfoot detector is coming your way, so please be on alert for it, okay?
I sure will.
Well, fantastic. Listen, you guys be safe till we get there. And I'm going to turn this back over to you, Marco, to all my eyes, ears, nose all over this country. Kudos and salutations. Till next time, America.
1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries, find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
There were these prints up in Boston.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams. Break in day, we hear these siren-type screams.
But it is not like
everything else. They just were too realistic
and
to be
frozen like a tree.
The hand
and
was freaking
into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot is a movie
right now
at www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests, Java Bob and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monster Mason mysteries, legends.